Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Radio. We're so glad you could join us today for our sports article. We have a two-day article on rock climbing or going to a rock gym and learning how to rock climb. My name is Linda, and I have two, I wouldn't call them rock climbers, but they rock at what they do, and they have been climbing, so they are kind of rock climbers, okay?
Oh, we'll take it.
So...
Yeah, so I'm Zach, and happy to be here talking about rock climbing.
Have you ever been rock climbing?
I've been. I don't know if that qualifies me as a rock climber, but I do have a little bit of experience.
Good. And?
Hi, guys. I'm Pauline. You know I like an adventure, whatever the sort is, so of course I've tried rock climbing as well. Again, I'm not a rock climber, but I've given it a try.
Well, this person that the article is about is not a rock climber either. It's really about her first climbing class, right? And her adventures. And, you know, I think whatever we decide to do or whatever we decide to try, we just need to give it our best and don't say, oh, I'm too scared, right, Pauline, especially?
Absolutely. I think all of these, you know, experiences, if you're willing to give them a try, it'll just enrich you. And some things you'll find you really love even more than you expected, and other things you won't like them so much. And then you just know and you can say, well, I tried it.
And I'm never doing it again.
Right.
What about, would you go again, Zach?
You know, it was a challenge, but I think after one time having tried it, I would consider going again. I know what areas I would need to kind of work on or improve before I take another stab at it.
So did you go to an indoor gym kind of thing like this, or did you go outside rock climbing?
You know, ideally, I think you would start indoors and you kind of work your way up. But I actually went with some friends, and we headed outdoors up a real wall, up a real mountain. And so it was a little too much.
Okay.
Did you start at the bottom and go up, or did you start at the top?
For the one that I did, yeah, we started at the bottom and tried to work our way up.
And it was a challenge, right?
It was a challenge, and we tried to do it right here in Taiwan on the northern coast. So a really pretty area to at least try.
And they do have some rocky areas, rocky cliff areas there, so good for you. Well, we're going to talk about a climbing class at a rock gym, and let's turn to page 26 in your advanced magazines if you have it with you. Or if you have your digital device, maybe you want to find this article and you can read along with us. And we're going to just read this, start out by reading this first little section at the top of the left-hand column.
A day at the rock gym. All about my first climbing class. I fell off a wall. After a few seconds, I felt the bounce of the harness and stopped. My hands and feet came close enough to cling to the rock wall in front of me. Gotcha! My partner yelled from below, where he stood with the rope in braking position. The fall had been on purpose, part of an exercise in Climbing 101.
Oh, this is an interesting way to start out an article. I fell off a wall. That's kind of an attention grabber, we shall say. So our author, Kara Carlson, is writing this, and she fell off a wall. And she said that after a few seconds, she felt the bounce of the harness and stopped falling, thankfully. So what's happening here?
Pauline? We realize now that it's not a serious accident that happened. This is something she did on purpose. She's at a climbing gym where she's learning how to fall safely. And the reason it's safe is because she is in a harness. A harness is, you know, it's kind of like a seat that you strap on and you have ropes connected to it, and it's going to help stop you if you fall.
Well, if you have your magazine with you, you can actually see an example of one in the photograph right above this paragraph right here. And this is Delia Bledsoe, and that is a harness that she's kind of sitting in, right?
As
she's
right.
Attempting to climb this rock wall. And she said that her hands and feet came close enough to cling to the rock wall in front of her. And if you cling to something, what are you doing?
Right. So you're kind of gripping, or you're just holding something very, very tightly. She does not want to let go of the rock wall.
I don't blame her. I wouldn't either. I think learning, you know, when you study a sport or beginning a sport, in some sports you have to learn how to fall. I remember learning to fall when I was skiing or taking skiing lessons. You know, everything in us fights against doing it, doesn't it?
That's for sure. Yeah, and it is funny because, right, when you hear cling, it's this idea of, I always think of clinging on for dear life. There's kind of a fear that you feel when you cling to something. But, you know, as we see in the next line, the partner, she's got the, you know, she's got the ropes, she's got her. There's no need for her to be afraid. If she falls, her partner's going to catch her and she can just, you know, slowly move down to the ground. But she's still getting used to doing this falling, so she just clings to the wall.
I would too.
And we'll see later on in the article that this relationship that's kind of shared between the climber and the person helping is really important. It creates a real sense of security for the person climbing.
Hopefully.
Right, you have to trust the person on the ground that
that's the idea.
That they will help you out if you fall.
Well, we see here that, again, that the fall was on purpose, and it's one of the exercises in climbing 101. I always love these classes, 101, you know, basket weaving 101.
Right, well, whenever we say it's a 101, it means your first time learning exactly a beginner class. So she's at a beginner class for climbing.
So let's see what the class is about. We are going to continue our reading here in the middle of the column on page 26 on the left-hand side, and let's read down to the middle of the right-hand column.
The class. The class, which I took recently at the Stone Gardens Climbing Gym in Seattle, is designed to teach the needed skills to safely climb in the gym. By the end of class, students should be comfortable enough with climbing and safety to explore the rock gym on their own. The 2.5-hour class ramps up and builds on itself, starting with basic equipment and safety. The very first skill you learn is how to tie knots, starting with a figure-8 knot and then a rewoven figure-8 and a barrel knot. It's a task that sounds simple enough, but somehow I found myself staring down in confusion and frustration at 3 circles instead of an 8. The knot tying is done again and again until it's second nature. Once you have the knots down, you move on to belaying, a series of motions that manage a rope for a climber. The motions, break, under, slide, are driven into your head.
So we see that she's taking this class, and she took it at the Stone Gardens Climbing Gym in Seattle. And, you know, if you go to most major cities in the United States now have, like, rock gyms. Mm-hmm. So even some companies do, like REI. They have, like, huge climbing walls. Can I say it's a fad? I don't know if it's a fad, but it's very popular now.
Yeah, it's been popular for quite a while.
Right.
I remember when I was in college, I thought it was a fad in college, and I won't say how long ago that was because, you know, I don't really want to give away my age, but that was a while back, and I remember how it was a big deal that all of these sports stores that were really big were starting to put in climbing walls. So they've been around now for a while. They're just getting more and more popular, it seems.
I think in the, well, especially in the northern part of the United States, you know, when you can't go outside, it's not a good idea anyway to participate in outdoor activities in certain months because it's too cold, that, you know, they get a lot of activity, these rock climbing walls.
Right. A very practical idea. Put it in your store, and then you can kind of test out the gear when you're in the store. Or even you can, it kind of creates like a communal aspect to your store, bring in customers, and they all kind of meet at the rock gym.
Right. And actually, some gyms, even without the commercial side of it, just have them in there. Like, there's a place not far from where we live in called Vertical Climb or something like that, and that's what it is, climbing walls, indoor climbing walls.
And there are a few around the city here in Taipei.
Really? Oh, you guys have said you've come across
them. I've seen them. I haven't been to them, but I'm sure if any of our listeners are really interested, you might be able to find one in your area. So they're... As we said at the beginning, I really do think it's a great idea to try something like this. If you're at all interested, I'm sure they have 101 classes or like a one-day experience option where you can just get a feel for it and see if it's something that you would enjoy.
That's right. Because rock climbing, you do need some instruction, and you can kind of seek out people to kind of offer you classes. And I know here in the city, yeah, I think it's fairly easy to find. Hop on the internet and you can search, and I'm sure you'll find something.
Right, and whereas a lot of activities, I think if you don't want to do it professionally or super competitively, you can just go out and enjoy it. You can go out and run or start biking. You know, you can just pick up some of these activities on your own. But rock climbing, I mean, it can be a very dangerous thing to do if you aren't trained well to do it in a safe way. So definitely this is the kind of thing, it's worth paying a little money to learn about how to do it safely and find out if it could be a fun way to add some activeness into your life.
Right, and actually this article tells us some of the things that you actually learn if you're going to take a class. I think you'll end up seeing probably how necessary it is. The first thing she says here is that, you know, this class in particular is designed to teach the skills that you need in order to be safe while you're climbing in the gym. And what does she say? It's a 2.5-hour class, so you can learn quite a bit in 2.5 hours. And they focus on several different aspects of rock climbing. Remember, you know, you really need to be comfortable with this kind of sport. That's one of the words they use here with climbing and exploring the rock on your own. So there are some things you can kind of skip over when you do. You know, you feel like, oh, I got this, I can do this. But I would not probably recommend that for this one. Okay, it says here the 2.5-hour class ramps up and builds on itself, starting with basic equipment and safety. So if a class ramps up, what does it do?
Well, it kind of increases. The idea of ramps up is to increase. And in this case, it starts out with something very, very basic. And it increases maybe in difficulty or in skill.
Okay, so you're learning it step by step, but in 2.5 hours you have a lot of information, mm-hmm. and probably skill learning, and you're actually doing some things. You're not just sitting there being lectured to.
Right. So, for instance, maybe you begin and they take 5 or 10 minutes to go over safety, and then for the next, you know, half hour they're gonna move on, and you're gonna keep mm-hmm. adding to it.
Yeah, you see that from the first sentence. She fell off a wall. What were you going to say, Pauline?
Right, and that's a great thing to go to back to. I'm sure she didn't just fall off the wall in the first 5 minutes of the class, right? It ramps up, and eventually she gets to the point where she's falling off of walls and climbing. But we see here on the first paragraph in the right-hand column, the very first thing they do is nothing all that exciting. It's just tying knots. It's something simple and basic and very important for safe climbing.
Right, and they say they start with a figure eight knot and then a rewoven figure eight and a barrel knot. Okay, these are quite technical terms.
Yes, they are.
All having to do with knot tying. If you've been in the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, you've probably learned all of these. But we see that the barrel knot, it seems to be a very important one, and it's a kind of knot that doesn't come untied easily, and it's referred to as the blood knot.
And, of course, you don't want your knots to come undone easily if your whole safety device is based on the idea that these ropes are going to keep you if you fall. So very important you learn knots that are going to not come untied easily. So I'm sure the barrel knot is important.
Yes. And also the figure eight knot and then a rewoven figure eight. What does rewoven mean here?
So we get weave and then you do it again. So I've never done a rewoven figure eight, so I don't really know. I can only guess based on my understanding of the word rewoven, which is, I'm guessing, done in a different way, woven in a different way.
On top of the other one that you made,
maybe,
probably,
oh, maybe.
To reinforce it, maybe?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like a double knot in a sense. Sometimes we'll say to double knot something.
Does it sound like we're guessing here? Yeah, we are.
We are.
Okay, so let's see that the author, Kara, finds it's a task that does sound kind of simple, right? But she found herself staring in confusion and frustration at 3 circles instead of 8. So I take it she's trying to learn how to tie the figure 8 knot. That would be me, staring mm-hmm. in confusion.
Well, and you can kind of start to see why you need a class for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily...
Can we say your life depends on it?
We can. We certainly can.
Or somebody else's. Or somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. So she's taking the time. She's going through the frustration, learning to tie these complicated knots because it's important.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to get to go another step until she gets
it done. They say they have to do it again and again until it's second nature. This is a great phrase. I think this is my favorite phrase we learn in our first day of the article. If something is second nature, you do it without even thinking. So, you know, I think most of us know how to ride a bike. When we were little, that was a very difficult task to learn how to do. But now when you jump on a bike, you don't think about it. You're not scared. You're not worried. It's just second nature. We all know how to ride a bike.
I remember learning how to drive a scooter here in Taiwan and thinking, you know, like, okay, I hope I'm doing everything correctly and I'm signaling properly and I'm making sure everything goes smoothly. And now I don't really think about it. It's second nature. I just hop on and go.
Those are very good examples of second nature things. I mean, it can be, you know, anything that you're quite used to doing and you feel competent at.
Right.
I can't think of anything.
Well, hey, here's a question. I wonder, can speaking a second language ever eventually feel like second nature if you're learning a new language?
I think I have a friend I mean, she's from the same state that I'm from in the States, and I think that Chinese is second nature to her now.
Wow, yeah. So if you put in enough time and effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And immerse yourself in whatever society or culture that you're
in.
And, you know, try not to separate yourself out, then, yeah, you it becomes second nature to you.
I noticed my husband, he's worked with second language speakers so much that it's second nature to him to immediately slow down his speech when he's speaking to people whose English isn't their first language. That still doesn't come second nature to me. I'm a fast speaker, so I always have to be reminding myself to do that. But for him, it's second nature because he's practiced it so often.
He always slows down when he talks to me, too.
Well, that's because he's talking about technology and he knows that's a second language for us.
good. So once you have the knots down, that means once you understand them or can do them readily, like you don't have to think about, oh, which part of the rope am I crossing over? So it's become second nature to you. So once you have something down, okay, we use that in a learning phrase often. Mm-hmm. And usually it's when you're not, like, studying book knowledge, but when you're practicing doing something.
Right, you have a skill down pat, or you have it down. It means you know how to do it.
So once you have that fall down, you can move on to doing something else. So you move on to belaying.
Right,
okay?
Belaying.
This is a new term for me.
Okay, well, it's an important term for rock climbing. You know, her definition, she says it's a series of motions that manage a rope or a climber. And then we see in the specialized terms, it's securing a climber with a rope or cables to prevent them from uncontrolled falls. The person who does that is the belayer, and they have to be holding the ropes and doing special things to make sure that they do secure the person if they fall.
Right. And this kind of goes back to when I had referred to the special relationship, because I guess if you think about it, if you're climbing up a wall, the last thing you want to worry about are all these ropes getting tangled up. And so the belayer kind of works as this assistant, feeding you rope as you need it to move up the wall.
So that's a new phrase. You feed somebody rope? Really?
Right.
Am I going to eat that rope?
You're not going to eat it, but if you're feeding rope in this sense, it's just to kind of give them the rope they need. Right.
Okay, and so releasing a little bit of rope to
him. You could feed someone information. Mm-hmm. You could feed someone, some rope, which in this case, they need that. And also, the idea of the belayer is if the person is moving down the rock wall, they are making sure it's nice and tight, and so that excess rope doesn't get in the climber's way.
Okay.
That was a great definition. Thanks for clarifying that.
Even I understand that.
Yeah.
Very good. Good.
It doesn't mean I'm going rock climbing, however.
And we learned, too, that the people who are doing that, the belayers, they need to learn some terms for certain motions that they're going to be doing over and over. So we see the motions break, under, slide. They learn those commands, those motions, and start to, I would assume, understand when and how you do that as the person supporting the person climbing.
Right, and it says here that they are driven into your head. Mm-hmm. Now, this doesn't mean that you're on your car or your scooter and you're driving through somebody's brain. If you are driving something into somebody's head, it means that you are making sure they stay there.
Mm-hmm. Right? Making sure somebody understands it and mm-hmm. that information sticks. We say that they really understand it and they're not going to forget.
So again, that's also second nature. Mm-hmm. So they're driven. It's a term to mean as Pauline said, you receive it and you learn it so well that it stays there. There's no way you're going to forget that.
Okay. Yeah. So I might tell if my boss says, you know, now you can't wear jeans here at the company. I say, I know that's been driven into my head. And I'm saying many people have told me that I won't forget. I know.
Okay. Okay, well, let's continue reading through the rest of, well, we only have a few lines left, the third section of this article. Let's read to the end of the page.
The First Ascent. Two friends, Elisa Eminger and Delia Bledsoe, made up the first climber and belayer team in our class. I want you to reach that yellow turtle, Instructor Donovan Brendler said, pointing three-quarters of the way up the wall at a grinning turtle handle. The two women prepared, starting with safety commands.
So now we move through the class part of it, and we are taking a look at her first ascent. And this is one of our vocabulary focus words, and it comes from the verb ascend with a D. And if you're talking about an ascent of somebody, what are they doing?
It's the process of them climbing up something or going up. So we'll talk about a mountain ascent, that's pretty common, or even an airplane's ascent into the air.
Right. And the opposite, of course, is descent, with a T at the end of it instead of descend. And it's the same. The opposite, but the same.
Mm-hmm. Right. The same in the sense that mm-hmm. the noun form is descent and the verb is with a D, descent.
Right. So here she's on her way up. Okay. So there are two friends here and they made up the first climber and belayer team in the class. So they were the first ones to be able to do this, right? And we just talked about what a belayer is again, Zach.
Right. So you've got this relationship between the climber, who's obviously climbing up the rock wall, while the belayer is down below on the ground, feeding them rope, offering them the rope they need as they move up, and then pulling the excess rope as they're descending down the rock wall.
You know a lot for having gone one time.
Well, my climber-belayer relationship with the guy that I went with, he was very enthusiastic, and so he left a really good impression.
Okay.
So yeah, and you had a really different experience than when I've gone climbing. Actually, most of the times I have gone, I've gone a couple times. What we did is we started at the top and went down, so we just did that's called rappelling. The opposite of climbing is rappelling when you have the ropes. I found that to be very scary, but I got over my fear of it eventually, which I'm proud to say. But I never got to be the belayer. I was always just the climber on the tours that I did or the experiences. So you've had a different experience really going with a team and somebody who felt confident that he could train you and teach you how to be a belayer.
I think this is one of those activities or sports that you just need the proper know-how to make it work. Obviously, it's dangerous. You want that. And so, yeah.
You want the danger? Oh, you want the belayer.
You want the security knowing that it's a dangerous task.
Okay, not a chance in the world. Okay. So the first instruction that she got was she needed to climb the wall and reach the yellow turtle.
Yeah, which this might be like a surprising moment where you think, well, where did a turtle show up? But that's because the indoor walls, they have all of these fake rocks and different things that are just supposed to be handholds for you as you go up. And they're not all fake rocks. Sometimes there's something like a yellow turtle or a random little figure that's still hard enough that you can grab onto it and has some knobs and things. So it's just a handhold.
Right. And that was three quarters of the way up the wall. Okay. So it's kind of high for mm-hmm. her first climb up, for her first ascent.
Yeah, it is. But what's cool here is that they're teaching them to set a goal and to kind of go for it. And I think that's also really important when you're trying a new sport or any kind of activity. You need a goal. You need something to in mind or something to shoot for.
Right. And you also don't want to rush into this. So it mm-hmm. says that the two women prepared starting with the safety commands. That sounds like a good place to start.
Definitely.
So to remember what you've learned in the class, and now they're going to get to practice it in really in a very safe environment, it looks like. So do you think that it would be a good idea to have an outdoor class like this, or do you think it's safer to do these trainings indoors?
I think they're both pretty safe if you're doing a class with the right instructor. I think, especially when you start doing outdoor classes, you really need to research the credentials of the people that are giving you the class, right? I don't think you should probably just go out with anybody who says online that they have a class. If you see some Facebook group or something, you might want to just double check the safety standards. Usually if it's an indoor gym, then I just assume that they've had to do a lot more to get everything together to be a recognized gym, and they usually have a lot more highly trained, you know, for sure. But there's a lot of highly trained people who will take you on outdoor ventures and are very conscientious about safety, too. So I think both are great.
Yeah, I think Zach had that outdoor experience, mm-hmm. right?
I did. And I remember that day, I can recall there were groups of people learning, and they were in the class, but they were on much smaller and manageable walls. Maybe they weren't completely vertical, but kind of slanted a little bit. And so they were, yeah, it was a good goal for them to start off with.
Okay, well, you know, I don't want to over-encourage people, but I don't want to under-encourage you. We just want to advise some caution. And as Pauline said, check out people's credentials before you sign up for something like this, because it is a semi-dangerous, can be semi-dangerous to do. Well, we hope that you will join us again tomorrow for our second day as we continue our climb and maybe our descent and our fall off the wall and see what happens. So until then, bye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.